Welcome to EAA Radio. I am Wireless Mike, joined with Paul. And today we have the distinct honor of being joined with Dr. Earl Wehner, board member of the NTSB. Welcome.
Well, good morning, or actually good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And what is your general job as being a board member of the NTSB?
Well, the NTSB has staff members, about 400 staff members, and then five board members. The board members are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. So basically, the NTSB is run by the board. It's a collegial board. We have a chairman who's kind of our CEO, but we're all independent board members.
And you report to Congress, is that correct?
Report directly to Congress, yeah. Mm-hmm. When NTSB was initially formed way back in the 60s, it reported to the Department of Transportation, but they quickly figured out that being in a regulatory agency doesn't give you the independence that you really need to investigate accidents. So our charter is to investigate accidents, and we use that to improve safety.
Of course. Most of the, I'd say the general public knows about you when there's a more major incident or an accident, but in fact, you're responsible for all of the aviation events, general aviation, business, everything related. Is that correct?
Well, not only aviation, yes, as you point out, it's all of aviation, except for public use helicopters and public use aircraft, aircraft being used by the government. But we are also responsible for the safety with regard to rail, pipeline, hazardous materials, marines, what did I leave out? Highway, surface transportation.
Sure. If you could characterize or maybe wave a wand and get one thing to occur, one thing that you think would be the strongest driver for promoting safety in general aviation, what would that be?
If I had a magic wand, I would wave it at loss of control accidents. Mm-hmm. That's our big killer in general aviation. 40% of the fatal accidents are loss of control accidents.
So we're talking about low speed stall approach to final things, or are there other loss of control events that
included? Kind of you name it. A lot of it happens in the pattern. You know, it's the turn from base to final is kind of a historical example of it. But we have loss of control on departure, a loss of control on approach. And you know, we like to think this is a general aviation problem, but if you look at data for the large transports, the over 60,000 pound transports,
sure,
the Boeing summary of statistical data, you find that their number one category is loss of control in flight for fatalities. So you need to have an airplane moving fast enough to stay in the air.
Yeah,
and coordinated too.
Absolutely.
And coordinated, yes. Yeah. Because a lot of the loss of control accidents turn out to be spins.
And at low altitudes, there's just no recovering from that in most cases.
That's right. It's airplane stalled and spun at an altitude which you don't have time to recover.
Yeah. Dr. Wehner, one topic that that I've spent quite a bit of time thinking about, my own career is I work for an airline and involved in training. I see a lot in the public press about the idea that pilots are over-reliant on automation. And I'm not completely sure I agree with it. I understand there can be automation complacency in our flight decks and also in general aviation airplanes. I sometimes think that the real problem is that we don't have enough emphasis on the core skills, you know, that are actually behind the scenes in automation. Do you have an opinion or what's the NTSB's position on over reliance on automation?
Well, these are my own opinions. I think automation has improved safety considerably. Having said that, it's a two-edged sword. As you point out, if you depend on the automation and don't keep the critical skills up to the right proficiency level, you're asking for trouble when things go wrong. You know, automation's great, and in some sense, what the biggest hazard is something that works right almost all the time. And when it doesn't work right, you aren't prepared for it.
And certainly the more complex automation becomes, the more difficult the systems are that drive it. And you have to train not only for how automation works, but to recognize the failure modes of your particular system. And I think as it gets more and more complex, that's more and more difficult to do.
Well, the more complex the system, the more complex the failure modes are, just as you point out. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, in some cases, figure out what's the airplane doing and why is it doing it.
We don't like to hear that question.
No. What's this doing today? Yeah. What's it doing now? Yeah.
We don't like
why
to
is
that
it
question.
Doing that?
Yeah. Right. So do you have recommendations out on how to address these over-reliance on automation and better ways to mitigate any of those issues?
Well, our recommendations come from accidents or studies, but primarily from data gathered in an accident. We've been remarkably successful in terms of a low accident rate in the U.S. with U.S. carriers. You know, the last major accident we had in the U.S. was in San Francisco, Asiana, and that was not a U.S. aircraft, but it was operating in the U.S. As far as U.S. aircraft, the A300 of UPS in Birmingham was the last. Yeah. And in a sense, that was kind of an automation accident, too. The automation wasn't set up properly.
Sure.
Then when it was recognized, it was kind of late, went to a vertical speed approach because there was no glide slope. This was a localizer approach.
Yep.
Set up too high vertical speed, busted MDA, and it was two fatalities.
So as I recall, the Asiana one, the glide slope was out also that day.
That's correct.
And the pilots just didn't revert back well to a approach without a glide slope, where they became very dependent on always having a both vertical and horizontal component down to the runway.
You know, ILS approaches are remarkably safe, mm-hmm. but when you don't have them and you're not used to it and you don't regularly practice it, that's asking for trouble in a situation like UPS.
Sure. I had the pleasure of attending a conference a couple of years ago where you were the keynote speaker, and during your presentation, you talked about the cyclical nature of safety, and I wonder if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, it came from an observation when I was an executive at the Boeing company, and there was as the 737 got longer, there were more instances of tail scrapes on takeoff. And that got to be a problem because that's a fairly expensive repair. And there was a lot of emphasis put in training on proper deck angles, rotation rates on takeoff, and so forth. And the accident rate went way down for tail strikes, or the incident rate. But over a period of a few years, you could kind of hear the conversations in the management talking about training. You know, we aren't having any tail strikes. Why are we putting so much emphasis on it? It takes extra time. We need that time for something else.
Yep.
We can drop this emphasis on tail strikes. And sure enough, it was about a 7-year cycle. Tail strikes went down with emphasis, went back up with
lack of emphasis.
I relate that principle in our own training environment, where I shorten the cycle a little bit to say that we don't always learn from our mistakes. And certainly flying provides us an opportunity to learn from what happens either to ourselves or other people. And, you know, perhaps we'll learn a lesson and we'll maintain our standards and maintain our procedures and our proficiency. And over time, maybe not a long time, but we can kind of fall back to old habits. So sometimes I think about the cyclical nature of our own behavior in terms of just learning lessons and trying to keep them fresh.
Yeah, when you get really good at preventing accidents, then the emphasis changes because the evidence of all that effort seems to go away.
Sure.
And sure enough, things will come back again.
So did you come up with any recommendations on trying to prevent cyclical nature of accidents from reoccurring?
Well, there's really no way to a priori identify what your cyclical accidents are going to be. It basically forces you to go back and look at the data. You know, what are the experiences? What seems to be gaining? What seems to be emerging? and you go off and attack it.
Dr. Weiner, what are some of the resources that are available from the NTSB to help the general aviation community understand things about loss of control and some of your initiatives?
Well, when you talk about learning from other people's experience, we have a wealth of information available online at ntsb.gov. One-page summaries of the accidents are in there. But let me emphasize now, for a great number of years now, the docket information is also available online. And in the docket is a wealth of information, you know, radar tracks, weather studies, pilot interviews, interviews with other people, information about the particular characteristics of the accident or particular circumstances of the accidents. So there's a lot of information available online, and that's a great way to learn from the experience of others.
And there's so much digital data available to pilots now. Sometimes I have pilots, you know, talk about, you know, well, we should just, you know, fly like we're always being watched. And I say, yeah, you should, because you are. And if you don't believe that, look at, you know, just look at the programs like FlightAware. I mean, we always know something about our flights. And I think the access to that data should tools for lessons.
Yeah, what you don't want is the NTSB to have to show up and investigate your flying.
I'd never want that.
No. We do a lot of things in the advocacy area besides investigate accidents, but we would like to put ourselves out of business. That's not likely to happen soon.
Briefly, when you get recommendations, what do you generally do with those recommendations?
Well, based on our understanding of the accident, we come up with what we think, if it were done and accomplished, would have prevented the accident. A lot of these go to the FAA, but not all. Some of them go to any of the parties who could do something about the accident.
Like the airlines, if it's an airline on a training thing, or
like the airlines.
Reach out to general aviation about general aviation topics through the various magazines and training seminars.
Yeah, but let me just make a plug for a loss of control seminar, or loss of control forum, I should say. A one-day forum that's going to be held October 14th at the NTSB boardroom in Washington, D.C. But it's going to be webcast as well, and we'll have a lot of the industry there to talk about loss of control in general aviation, at GA Focus.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We've been talking with Dr. Earl Weiner from the NTSB. We appreciate you coming in. You've been listening to EAA Radio.